morning with us. Also back is Aaron Fletcher of BIOS Research, who pitched CureVac, which I noticed down 60%. You're making my life, my job easy, Aaron. Thank you. Welcome back, Aaron.
All right. And John, if you could stop sharing, I think I'll be able to then share. Here we go. Okay. Last time we were on, it was spring of 2000 and, or 2023. We talked about CureVac, and then we had a bonus idea of Moderna, both of which have been down in the 60 to 70% range since then. And we've removed conviction on CureVac. We remain convicted in Moderna. Today we're going to talk about a smaller cap company for us. This is on the smaller size of all of our current short ideas, but it's a relatively new short. I think it's one that perhaps people aren't as familiar with. Just quickly on BIOS Research, we've been around since 2012. We are focused in the healthcare space. We tend to focus in biotech, medtech, services, tools, not so much in insurances or hospital systems, et cetera. Unlike many of my peers on the panel today, we're not as into the financial metrics as much. Like my peers, it's still very fundamental based. We focus on the fundamental side within healthcare, looking for fads, fakes, frauds, as well as competitive intelligence, commercial launch failures, and then just general themes. I would say that the Gartner hype cycle, the idea of identifying inflated expectations, and that tends to be something we do a lot. Here recently, in the last 12 months, we've published seven tools and services names, for example. MedTech has been something we've done a bit more. Commercial biotech, you go back a few years and it was a lot of COVID-related names. Go back a little bit, same period or year before that, it was a lot of these ridiculously priced IPOs, et cetera. So we tend to look for trends and go through that. Just quickly on the metrics and the process, since 2012, we've published about 175, exactly 175 short ideas. Our hit rate on an absolute basis is 68%. Alpha adjusted to the S&P 500, it's 71%. That is determined based on time of publication to when we remove conviction or last Friday's close. In addition to short ideas, we do occasional long ideas. We are much heavier on short ideas. Funds are short on short ideas, and that's what they'll pay for, and we tend to be particularly good at that. And then we will do an occasional market reports kind of describing everything going on in, say, the Alzheimer's space is something that we've done here recently. Okay, so let's jump into ARS here. So ARS is a recent FDA approved, has a recent FDA approved product. So it's a commercial launch thesis. We believe that not every drug is a billion-dollar drug, even though analysts tend to find a way to make peak sales, somehow get to $1 billion with every drug that gets approved. There's been a lot of excitement here. Things that we would highlight is their cash on hand. They claim is plenty of cash for the next 2 to 3 years. Our experience is $200 million is typically nowhere close to enough cash for a commercial launch, especially on your own. They have no other pipeline programs, so it's very much dependent on this being successful. And we think that this has the potential to be very difficult. We've published right around where the price is today or was yesterday. This is a name that we published a month or two ago, kind of after the hype of the FDA approval. The things that we would highlight, and we'll go through this in more detail, but it's actually they're trying to launch a branded product into an area with significant amount of generics available and more competition coming to the market, not just generics, but additional branded products that sort of tackle the very thesis that they say they're taking care of. We believe the benefits of the commercial product are overstated. We'll walk through that. And then a question about sort of, you know, is this actually good for patients or not? It looks like there's reasons it could be. There's also arguments of why doctors would not want the way in which this is administered to be given to patients. And it doesn't really represent a very lucrative commercial opportunity, and we'll walk through that. So the product that they are launching is to compete with the EpiPen. Of course, everyone has heard of an EpiPen. You're familiar with the concept of anaphylactic shock and needing to do something to treat that. A lot of people will carry an EpiPen around in their backpack, maybe in their car. Schools have them with the nurses, etc. The argument or the product that they are trying to compete with is a nasal spray. So they have been able to take the activated or the active product and turn it into a nasal spray. So epinephrine through the nose. This is their argument of, hey, there are a lot of people that are scared of needles and don't use this because of that. And we're going to solve a problem here that people will pay more for. Right now, an EpiPen typically costs somewhere in the neighborhood of $50 to $70 for a pack of two. They're looking to charge $200 for a pack of two. Oftentimes, it can be insurance paid, and but many times it's also cash pay. Here's just a quick sort of overview of what the timeline looks like for ARS. So, company was founded about 8 years ago. They've, for the most part, licensed out all of their rights except for U.S. and EU. Of course, those are the most important ones to have. They came public not through an IPO, but through a reverse merger. That is a common theme in 2002, 2000, 2023, 2022. They had a CRL. They were able to work through that and eventually got approval in the US and then here recently in the EU. So they are just now getting ready to launch the commercial product. One of the things that I would note is that the anaphylactic industry, about 30% of sales actually happen kind of in the third quarter, going into the start of the school year. And so this is something that they missed. And so they're going to now have to do a year of sales and a year of commercial launch without having the sort of big push that happens. And everyone just went through that big push. And so they're going to have to overcome that hurdle and spend cash while getting out there and trying to do that. The other thing I would note is that the product is approved for people that are basically 66 or 70 pounds or heavier. A large part of the anaphylactic concern and epinephrine sales tend to be for children, many of which are under the age of 5. So they're going to have to kind of work through some of those hurdles as well. If you look at just sort of the overall market, you can see here that there's been a lot of epinephrine products out there. Of course, EpiPen is a well-known name. There's generic versions of this as well. It's been around for a long time, and the sales are not that meaningful. Back in 2018, they peaked at $1 billion. There was a lot of news around that. Prices came down. And last year it was about 440 million in total sales around the EpiPen. And so they're looking to kind of try to compete into this process. If you look at sort of what is the TAM here, it's effectively about 5 million scripts a year is given for epinephrine. Now, what happens is you typically end up with one of these. Sometimes people get them and may never use them again, but they at least have it if needed. There is a shelf life of the EpiPen that's about 18 months or so. And so you do every year and a half need to replace it. One of the things that ARS highlights is that they have a longer shelf life of up to 30 months. I think that's actually a negative for them more than a positive because, again, a big part of this sales is going into the school year, people being concerned about peanut allergies or whatever it might be, and having this available and readily available. And those type of buys are going to be watching when is the shelf life, what's the expiration date, and actually replacing that. Individuals sometimes are not always as good about that. But a big part of this sales is just restocking and changing that out. So if you were to just sort of take a big picture approach and say, all right, well, what if they go out and get 20% market share quickly? Even if they were to get a million sales at $200 a pop, you're talking about a $200 million opportunity here. Again, I don't know that that leads to cash flow being cash flow positive. That certainly doesn't justify a $1.5 billion market cap. And that's being very aggressive on sales assumptions here, considering they've just missed the major sort of timeline for getting out there to do sales. And they're going to have to overcome being more expensive, working through insurance, and the fact that there's a lot of doctors that are actually concerned about the idea of having something that doesn't have a needle to it. People say, well, you're scared of needles, so you'll want to have this nasal spray. Well, you want to be careful about taking epinephrine. Like, epinephrine is not something, it's not Benadryl that you just sort of take because you can't fall asleep and it's not allergies, but you're going to help yourself fall asleep. This is something that has a major impact on cardiovascular and a lot of other side effects that it sometimes doesn't hurt that you have to take a moment to think, do I really want to jab myself with this needle? And so I think there are a number of doctors, we've heard this and seen this, that are a little bit concerned about the idea of making this readily available and just something that kids could carry around, et cetera. So there's going to be a bit more of a, I think, a curve to the sales process here than appreciated. This is a couple of things that the Neffy product or ARS tries to articulate. They highlight that it's smaller than the EpiPen, which makes it easier to carry, that some people don't carry the EpiPen. I think our argument to that is people do carry the EpiPen in their backpack or in their car or wherever it may be. Do they carry it in their pocket? No, I'm not sure that this is the product that a lot of people will be carrying in their product. They're certainly not. For those that feel like they would need that, it certainly doesn't add up to 5 million of the scripts done a year. It's probably less than 100,000. And the needle phobia, as we've talked about, sort of may not always be to the benefit of Neffy. In fact, that's something that doctors and some patients like, is that there's a little bit of a pause and do I really need to give myself this massive shot of epinephrine? One of the things, and just to show a little bit of science here without getting into it too much, we describe more of that in our report. But one thing to highlight here is that one of the arguments that ARS makes is that one of the issues with the EpiPen is because there's a needle, people might be a little bit slower to actually take it, right? And they've done surveys and they believe that they can be up to 50% faster. Well, the time difference there is 4 to 5 minutes. So they're making an argument that, hey, if you have this product versus the nasal spray versus the injector, auto injector, that we can save you 5 minutes of getting, you'll just naturally use this faster. What's interesting though is when you look at the actual data, here we're looking at, well, how fast, kind of pharmacokinetics is what we would call this, how fast does the drug get through the system? With an auto injection, it's an immediate impact. And you can see here the dotted line. Very quick. That's again an epinephrine auto injector. You get an immediate response. And again, if you are starting to feel suffocation from having eaten some clams or whatever it may be, you want that immediate response. Whereas what you see here with the Neffy product is it actually is kind of slow and it doesn't really start getting going until about 10 minutes in. So their time benefit that they're arguing really doesn't make any sense. And again, may not be to the benefit of the patients here. Not to mention, if you happen to be congested or anything of that nature, how much did you get? One of the questions that a lot of doctors have is, do my patients actually know whether they got a dose or not? Whereas you do an auto injection, or you're a mother or a nurse, and your kid has something has happened, has passed out, you give them that. I mean, it's all you got to do is hit it on their leg, through the pants, whatever, and immediately they're getting a dose of epinephrine. If, on the other hand, that there are people truly scared of needles, and there are people who want to have the simplest administrative product that's out there, well, there's actually a lot of competition here. So things that will be even easier than a nasal spray, one which is just about to do its NDA filing and will literally be approved, potentially approved within a year of ARS's launch, is a sublingual dose. And so talking about like the easiest way to administer something, a sublingual dose will be much faster and much easier. Okay, so just to kind of summarize everything here, we think that this is a commercial launch failure where they've had overstated sort of benefits. It's going to be an expensive commercial launch for them, and you'll see slow sales, ramping expenses, and sort of the excitement here start to wane. considering it's a branded product into a highly generic space, the pricing differential, insurance issues, we don't see this as an M&A target. And then lastly, I'll just give a quick bonus idea. We were asked if we had any European ideas. Admittedly, we mostly do US, but we did do a bonus idea a couple months ago in Bavarian Nordic. It's worked out nicely. We think that there's still plenty of downside here, but this is around the mpox sort of scare and hype that happened in the summer. They have an approved vaccine. They no longer have the only approved vaccine, which they've had in the past. And we've seen this happen before, and it moved down accordingly. All right, I'll stop there and be open to questions if you have any a little bit later.
Thanks, Aaron.